Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Sunday, August the 20th, 2023, and I have the honor to have Nicole Powers on with me. She's got a website, TwoWitnesses.com, and I'm just going to hand it over to her because she's full of information today, and she's got a report to make to you. And this is pertaining to Jesus Christ in the end. Remember her site, Two Witnesses. With that said, Nicole, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm very fine. I wanted to understand the role of psychiatry and how it reflected into my struggle with the paranormal and why it was concealed to me, what happened to me in PIW, why I wasn't told. And I wanted to expound on the people that were involved or the organization was involved, but I wanted to go over today the essence of psychiatry, and I wanted to give a little brief history on it. I think it's important for us to understand that in order to grasp hold of reality or anything, you have to go back to the origin of everything, and that's very important. And people know, notably, that Sigmund Freud was the father of psychiatry. And so I wanted to learn to understand him and what was life like in that era where this concept of, psychoanalysis, where did it come from, how was it practiced, and who adopted the philosophies that he and others carried on to establish the realm of medical research. So, doing my research last night, I discovered that, that a man is normally a reflection of his society, even where he goes to the flow of it, and he practices and he partakes in all the things that society believes in, or he sees something that is dangerous and threatening, and he goes against it. But unfortunately, Sigmund Freud's his moral code and character set the medical community to be lackluster, or how should I put it, not effective. Let's just say it's ineffective. In so many cases, it's been ineffective. And a lot of people have to revisit his teachings, and they come to the same conclusion, that they were flawed and they weren't complete. And so I found out that during that time, the people in Europe and Vienna, they were facing problems with pedophilia. And problematic, because Freud used to receive patients from families where the children were victims of sexual abuse, and Freud had to tailor his findings to fit the attitudes of those in his community in Vienna, and that was most unfortunate. And I found out that that psychiatry, in essence, was void of God. It did not recognize the need to have a relationship with God. And also, in the cases of abuse, it put the onus and responsibility against the victim and never recognized the perpetrator as being the problem. And I would do research on psychiatry. And sometimes, even modern day times, the abuser was allowed to be around the child. So even today, that attitude is still perpetuated. It keeps going further and further. And I also found out that, it was just Sigmund Freud, because there were other men that was in the same social class, doctors, who he formed the Secret Committee of And they would meet there and they would adopt the principles of Freud. And two other ones are Jung and Adler. And I was just talking to my mom this morning. I was like, well, I couldn't find anything on the Secret Committee of 1919, and I wonder what was the goal of that committee? What were they expecting to accomplish by spreading Freud's philosophy of psychiatry and neuroscience? And this new means of treating people and all of its theories and principles, it reflects in a lot of our culture and it builds in literature, art, and medicine. So it'll be hard for anyone who doesn't have a background in this to pick up on the many aspects of how his train of thought how it affects society as a whole. But I find it very interesting that you had a race of people. I don't want to sound anti-Semitic or anything, but there was a need in that time and era for certain people to start industries and be able to control them. And I wondered to myself, was that desire to be powerful in all these different, like banking and in other fields and medicine, was that a means of fighting back the backlash of certain practices that was in the community that people found offensive about pedophilia? Was them consolidating power a means of protection for their own race? And I'm talking about Zionism. And I wonder, is that what this is all about? Because there was a lot of controversy about certain children being kidnapped and being, you know, being tortured. That's what I'm thinking. Could I be wrong?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So, I just wanted to, you know, give you a foundation on that. And also that the many applications of whatever you think of, you know, the mind, I really believe that they use this new form of thinking to control us and to manipulate us. And you think about, well, how many ways can they apply this new science to everyday life? You think about when you go to the store and even product placement and certain practices at theme parks, and you have even in advertisement, there are subtle forms of manipulation that people, corporations use. Words and symbols. And I wonder, is that any reflection of Freud? I mean, did these principles be adopted for control, for commerce? And on the realm of that, of psychiatry, now if I am part of that industry of psychiatry, it would make my endeavors more profitable if I hide certain truths from you, because their main goal, just God, because he said in the Bible, you know, he blessed everything, every seed on the earth for our benefit. They went against the natural and the healthier approach to health. They believe in chemicals. So if I am on that standpoint, that's my philosophy, I may not want to tell you the truth about what you can do to achieve health, either physically or mentally. So it would be in their benefit to keep certain things away from us. When we know they go to Big Pharma, create a medicine for a certain condition, and they put it out in the market. So it was monetarily beneficial for them to hide the truth about true health. And I just think that's very interesting that they all came together to do this. And that's what I found out. And so
medicating people and doing surgery on them because of mental health. Now, I have a daughter who doesn't even know me. A lot of people know my story. You know, I married a witch doctor, and, you know, she tried to murder my daughter when she was 28 days old. And she was ordered to undergo a state psychiatric evaluation within 7 days. She disappears. She filed divorce. It's a long story. Her father bought it her way out of it, contributed $75,000 to a judge to terminate my parental rights nearly a year later, and the whole bit, but she escaped it. She escaped it. This woman escaped it. Carrie Millman Smith, she goes by now. And she escaped justice. Well, her justice isn't over with, because Jesus Christ, God Almighty's going to take care of her at some point. But my daughter became a psychiatrist. Psychologist, yeah. Then a psychiatrist, where she can issue medication. Now, you know, they put a card in front of her and said, "You got a $50 billion estate. Your father had stolen $100 trillion, passed it to Mizell, Larry Mizell, who was one of the 12 disciples of Satan, like he was." And whatever Otis Johnson said, he said, when he called me and told me Millman was dead in 2004, he said, "Stu, whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law lived for thousands of years before he inhabited him. Now he's inhabiting Mizell. He was the anointed one." Well, I watched all the assets, $100 trillion worth of corporations and assets, transfer over to Mizell's control over a period of about a year. But they left a $50 billion estate. They registered it with the court. Millman Family Trust in Denver Court. They do that to legitimize the money, make it look like it's legal when it isn't. It's drug money, it's stolen money, it's thefts, drugs. Actually, the government could confiscate it all, but they won't, because he's one of the 12 richest in the world. He owns the largest bank now, HSBC, largest in the world, and BlackRock, Blackstone, which is old Silverado drug money. And it's the largest bank in the U.S. But Millman registered a family trust worth $50 billion. And they took a card and handed my daughter a card when she was 18, when I legally could see her. No restraining order or any of that. They handed her a card and told her, "You can spend $1 million a year, but if you have anything to do with your father, we're going to take the card away from you and anything you buy with the card." Well, you know, she didn't want to hear that. All she wanted was her education. She wanted other stuff, but she became a shrink. Now, I've studied on her, watched her over the years. I got 3 grandkids I don't even know, and the whole bit, but I've watched what she practices. She practices alternative medicine for her psychiatric patients. Okay? In other words, she doesn't give them drugs. She does an alternative thing. And I thought that was kind of cool. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there because I'm a little bit familiar with this, okay? Because of having a daughter that's a shrink. Okay? An MD that issues medication, but she doesn't issue medication.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to just give the background of the truth is it's more beneficial for them to know how to manage those who have those illnesses, because with me
You had demons attacking you. You had demonic activity attacking you all the time, correct?
Yeah, I did. And I did not need it. And the thing is, I tell my mom this. I said, if they knew I had obsessive religious thoughts, and I was depressed by these thoughts, and yet you hear disembodied voices around me, I think what would have been in your best interest as my doctor's best interest to tell me about that. But it wasn't, and I believe he was told not to. I think because of who controlled that hospital. And the reason why he signed his contract with these people, he was under certain obligations to do the things that they want him to do. And I think if he would have told me what had happened, things might have not ended up well for him. Because I know that through my looking into this, with being a target individual of a government agency like the DOD, they spend an excess of over $1 million to do these experiments on me. So I was just marked. And this thing had followed me from D.C. down here to North Carolina. So I really believe there's really nothing much he could have done about it. For the mere fact, I'm sorry, let me pick up my dog if someone's dead. Hold on. Hurt other people, and that leads me to the assault on Hawaii. will most people receive justice? And will they see those who are responsible punished for the pain that they caused them? Because that is another form of what I have been through, because they use microwave technology on various people. But what they did to Hawaii was more of a physical assault. One is a psychological assault, and another one, which is fires, is a very physical and violent and intrusive assault, because you can't get away from it. And you tell me many instances of how you dealt with these things too, and I just want your opinion on things you went through concerning this, and also Hawaii.
In regards to what, Hawaii?
But the fires.
Oh. Well, I believe it was the Council of 13 decided to torch the place out. There's a report I put up on my internet site last night, and I think she's got it pretty accurate. It deals with China and technology that they have, and China's been wanting to take over Hawaii for many years, and a lot of people out there want China to take them over, and I believe that they had burned it out intentionally. I believe there's a possibility that they used some kind of energy weapon. Definitely it was some kind of energy weapon that they've used, like the California fires a few years back, and some of the most recent, because they've gone to an extreme now. And it's not only China, it's the United States, it's various countries that have this capability. The U.S. has sonar technology, they got weather wars, that is, they're able to move the jet stream, etc. And Super Spook Otis Johnson said one day, and this was back in 2013, he said they're going to take and they're going to be able to use it as a weapon against the people. In other words, you could be among 500 people at a concert, say, and or, you know, several thousand people, but you could be standing around with five of your friends someplace, and all of a sudden you just disappear. And there's no ashes on the ground or anything. They just zap you, and within a split second, you're gone. You're just toast. You disappear. They killed you. Now, he said HAARP, which is weather wars, weather modification, that they're doing it, everybody, being able to pull the jet stream down and cause hurricanes and cause all kinds of chaos. He said they would be able to use one day that weapon, HAARP, as that toy that can zap you and make you disappear. I mean, we are in such a critical state on the planet, and the weapons that they have, it's just like the first time when they hit Springfield, Missouri down there 10 years or 12, 15 years ago, whatever it was, and they wiped the whole city out. 8 out of 10 people died in Springfield, Missouri. They disappeared. They never recovered the bodies. And clear across the state, 300 miles away, this is the southeast corner of Missouri, southwest corner of Missouri, clear across the state over in St. Louis, they found papers blown from their homes that had blown away. They found papers, you know, that had floated over into the backyard from the winds. But the bodies, it just rips them apart. But these are the toys they're using. And I put up a video, or an audio, and I think it's pretty accurate. It's pointing the finger at China on this one. Whether they did it or not, I don't know. But I know that the Council of 13, the Council of 12, and the 13th is Baphomet, the goat-headed demon, the devil himself, which I have seen. He came into my bedroom to kill me once. Just before my daughter was born, and I screamed, "In the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, command you out here now, Satan." I hear a whirlwind. Bam! God threw him out the front door. I went and picked the door up off the hinges. They were laying inside the entry. I slammed the door in there, and I went through the house. Here I am. God had thrown him out because I said, "In the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you out of here now, Satan." And here I got a gun, 25 caliber at the time, and I run to get my 25 because I hit him. I'm going through the house, and my ex-witch doctor, she's holding on to my belt on my pants, won't let go. She's scared to death. And this is 3 weeks before my daughter was born. Milman's sending them there to kill me. And it was on the summer solstice when they do the human sacrifice of children in Denver, Colorado. Now this is the Council of 13. These are the 13th or the 12th richest people in the planet. They control the economies worldwide. We are at that point. But the point is, God threw him out. That's the power that we have. And here I'm in incarnate. I'm running around going to shoot the thing. And I after I hunted all over the house, and I was in Dallas, Texas, in a ranch, and after I got, couldn't find him, I even crawled up in the attic, staircase to the attic in the garage, looking around. And I came back in, I said, get the olive oil out, Carrie, and put a cross on the window right now, right here in the kitchen. And we were loaded down with glass. I had to go around that whole house and put crosses on her as I got on my hands and knees and prayed. And the first time I ever saw her, get on her hands and knees and pray. And I was asking God for angels of protection, get that thing out of there. But I've seen it. And I know how powerful these people are because of their weapons. I could sit here this morning and talk about not declassified, but classified information pertaining to the toys that our government has. They are 100 years advanced of what civilization has any idea. And I could sit here and tell you all kinds of stories because I was told by Otis Johnson. I've been told by other spooks and a whole bit. And Otis sat across from my father, who had a Q clearance, because he came to Kansas City, he was coming through. 007, he said, hey, Stu, where you at? And I said, oh, I'm over near my parents. I was getting ready to stop over there at their place. He says, well, he said, where are they at? He says, I'm a half an hour out of Kansas City. So I told him, and he met me over there. He wanted to take me down to one of the casinos where he was going to stay for the night. They have several in Kansas City. He wanted to treat me to dinner, and he did, smorgasbord. And he showed me how to make $1,000. He says, here, I'm going to make a donation to you. He says, the CIA trained me how to go to the casino and make money. He said, we're going to the roulette table. And he went in there and he said, now, put the money here. Here's a $100 bill. I tell you, put 5 down or 10 down or 20 down. He says, you put it down a certain number. And he says, do what I tell you to do. I said, okay. He made me $1,000. He said, that's your donation for me. He made 10 grand. But Otis was a smart guy. He sat across from my father, and he had been Air Force Intelligence, sitting on the nuke control box. It's not Omaha, Nebraska, but it is in Nebraska. And when he was young, then he went in the CIA, recruited over there. They gave him 3 PhDs before he died. Okay, he was an expert in oil, finance, and I forgot what the other was. But he transferred over to the NSA. He was William Casey's assistant, the CIA director. That's how powerful Otis was. He was a true 007. And he picked up, you can punch in 007 on my website in the search box and look at the secret underground house out there in Las Vegas. That was Jerry Henderson. He controlled $3.5 trillion of cash for black budget operations of state through his Dawson Bank, named after his grandfather. But there's a building there, the Dawson Building, and it's 5 stories below ground. You can see, since Henderson was murdered by Bush, because he shipped tank busters, airplanes, over to Iraq and Iran with bill of ladings, and he found out later that Bush lied to him. He didn't get paid Grumman Aerospace, which he owned, and Avon, which were both CIA front companies. He didn't get paid on those. So he decided he was going to rat Bush out to the Congress and Senate what he had done, and Bush murdered him, and then turned around and stole all of his money and stole his house and everything else. His wife ended up with $20 million. She lived for 2 years, and then she suddenly is dead. Okay, but Otis was a heavyweight. He sat across from my father at my parents' house. I was making coffee or something for him and for myself, and they had a couple couches there, and they were on one couch, and he's sitting there talking about, yeah, Mr. Webb, he says, I understand you're a vice president in charge of quality reassurance appendix, in Kansas City. He says, yeah, he says, I know the toys you made. He starts naming stuff off. My father was turning white as a ghost. As a ghost. He says, yeah, I use that toy. We use that in the NSA. We use this. We use that. Etc. He was turning white as a ghost. And when I was a kid, my dad would get a newsletter from Bendix and it'd be folded over. Usually about 4 pages, and it was folded over and stapled, but it was never stapled. The staple was missing because the postman was reading the damn thing. What had been declassified? Declassified this, you know, declassified that. A lot of satellite stuff. Stuff like that had been declassified, and other weapons declassified. And I said, Dad, what do you do for a living? At about 14, 15, 16 years of age, he says, I make saucers, cups, and spoons. He never revealed to me. But after Otis sat across from him, shocked him, a few days later, my mom says, your dad was in Air Force Intelligence. I said, what? Yeah, down there at Biloxi, Keesler Air Force Base, where he got a degree and he taught electronics. Then he became a Vice President Bendix in charge of quality reassurance, of which he taught Department of Energy inspectors before his retirement how to do their job, so they could reduce the staff from 300 employees, DOE, down to 150. So when he was down there for 6 weeks, they reduced it. Okay? If some of the toys that they made, if I'll put it this way, toys that they're classified as a nuclear facility. I'll leave it that way. But my dad sat there and told me saucers, spoons, and cups. Never told me the truth. After Otis was there, my mom says, oh, yeah, he was in the Air Force Intelligence, blah, blah, blah. You didn't know that. I said, no, I didn't know that. And I won't tell any more about that because it's a pretty big thing what he did and 78 other people. I've told you about it. I don't want to mention it because if I did, I'd be dead within a few days, okay, and wouldn't be able to control it. Now, also, my dad tells me about a week later, he says, Stu, your friend Otis knows too much. He said, what he told you, I said, Dad, we've had talk after talk. Remember, I remodeled his house for a year. I was there. He told me everything. He showed me all kinds of stuff, you know, unclassified. Or when, you know, it was still classified, like Project Blue Book, two saucers being chased in the North Pole by two U.S. Air Force jets that filmed it, flew back out, and that's the hollow Earth that Admiral Byrd talked about. There's a sun in the Earth. Anyway, my father says to me, he says, Stu, if you ever reveal what Otis has said in front of you to me, he said, I would be arrested for treason and sedition, and he said they would kill you within a few days. That's how serious our toys are. We have toys, people, that are so beyond belief, they can point a toy at you, and they can, like you, Nicole, they can put one of their satellites down on you, and they can sit there and program your mind. And they can do it now without a satellite. They do it off of cell towers. They've gone to, not G5 towers, they've gone to G6, 7, 8, 9. And people are being targeted. There's thousands, or not thousands, but actually millions in the United States of people that are all whistleblowers and very few of us around, and people that are speaking out against them, such as yourself, and others that have been targeted over the years, okay? And they can actually take those cell phone towers and they can kill you in a short period of time with them. They can zero in on top of you. Now, this is probably the reason President Putin of Russia has ordered all their 5G cells. Yes, are you there? Hang on, you there? Nicole? You still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, something happened, I don't know. But anyway, the 5G cell towers by President Putin are being taken down in Russia, and it's being reported on Real World News, which Baxter has a heck of a lot of truth up there on his site. And I post the stuff that I believe to be true, and a couple of former CIA people that are friends of mine tell me to post, and so forth. But he put that they've executed 5 cell tower executives in Russia. he put in the duck because they wouldn't follow orders and take the cell towers down and order them to be taken down. But he's taking them down because he knows how dangerous they are.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Putin, I don't think's a bad guy. He brought Christianity back to Russia when he became president. If you had a Bible in Russia prior to that, they'd put you to death. They didn't have the churches open. He comes in, he signs an order that you can have a Bible and you can open up the churches again. So I don't think he's a bad guy. And remember, he's up against the Khazarian Jews over there in the Ukraine. And he had one of his own people double-crossing that military character that he threatened, said, I'm going to have you executed or you're to leave the country. He left, he goes to Ukraine. I remember, this is Greater Israel, the Ukraine. This is what it's all about, Greater Israel. That's where Israel, the Khazarian Jews, formed Israel from the Ukraine. And they don't even have the true Hebrew bloodline. The Palestinians have the true Hebrew bloodline from ancient times.
And that goes with what I said, I'm sorry to interrupt, that goes with what I said about the culture of Vienna, because that was mostly Khazarian Jews there too. And so they practiced the same occultic thing with the Talmud, and they also sexually abuse children. And Ukraine is noted to be a hub of that. So I'm glad you brought that up, Steve.
Yeah, Ukraine is. And you know, the Ukraine, one thing I know about the Ukraine is a friend of mine, she's a whistleblower and an attorney. She doesn't live in the U.S. for her own protection right now. But her husband was murdered. But they knew about all the weapons that were designed by the government. Biological, chemical weapons that were designed and built at K-State out in Manhattan. Kansas State University in Manhattan. And they got liquefaction out there. That's top secret. Then go in and drive a truck on top of the ground and all of a sudden turn on a machine and the ground becomes liquid and the truck floats down right into a cavern. All they have to do is have the driver put an oxygen mask on. This is the kind of stuff that went on at K-State. Now, biological chemical weapons were made at K-State and Daddy Bush sold them to the Khazarian Jews in the Ukraine. They have the largest biochemical weapon dump site, I say storage facility, in the world. And that's very dangerous. If Russia, or by accident, a missile or weapon were to hit one of those dump sites, the planet's going to melt down from all these chemical weapons. Guarantee you, everybody's going to be dead. And that's how serious it is. And I made a statement of that on a radio program, and I saw that 2 days later, because I said, if anybody's in Russia, contact President Putin and tell him what I said. He stopped bombing, and they started searching for biological dump sites, and they found one. It was actually on the news. So maybe I'm heard from time to time. I don't know. But I know that we are at a critical time. This is the time of the Antichrist. This is the time of Jesus Christ's return. We don't have long, and I know that. And that's one of the reasons I'm putting you on here and putting on others, because we are at the time. As he said, still, before they murdered him in 2017, and he was working directly for General Flynn. General Flynn gets fired 2 weeks later under false indictments. Otis told me, he says, they've looked in CERN in Switzerland, the super collider, the NSA has. And they've seen that sometime between 2021, now this is in 2017, 2021 to 2025, he says, two planets are going to hit, two stars, asteroids or whatever, are going to come flying in here and hit planet Earth, one after another. That's Wormwood, that's Revelation 13 and Sister Star. Now, we're up to 2023 and a half, and he said by 2025, he said those stars will come in so fast they won't be able to put the flying saucers out there, which John Lear, my friend, his dad, built in 52 to 59, 150 for our government. He said they won't be able to put the saucer out there and put a rocket on there to divert it like they've done a couple other stars in 2006 and 2010. He said, what's going to happen? He said, these things are going to hit planet Earth, come around the sun so fast, and you're going to pound Earth. Now, I said, that's revelation. He was a Christian, and he believed in Christ. Even though he was super spooky, he said, what I did for our government, I thought I was doing for humanity, and found out it was for a bunch of satanic psychopaths called the Council of 12. Newman, Bush, Rockefeller, Rothschild, etc., etc., etc. But he told me, he says, they saw in CERN that by 2025 or before, around 2025, a big fireball six times the size of planet Earth would come ripping around the sun and smack planet Earth. What does Jesus Christ say? He's going to destroy the Earth with fire, isn't it?
Yes, he did.
We're 2023, and we're 23 and a half, and this is 2025. This is supposed to go down, okay? That's very serious. It's very serious, okay?
Yeah.
We got, what, a year and a half, maybe?
Yeah.
So I just want to bring these programs for people to understand, and to understand what Christ is about, and how to get him on your side and get the demonic activity off you, because everybody's suffering it. I've posted quite a few articles out, because people send me, my listeners send me, and other people send me, and ex-CIA types and attorneys and all kinds of people, including yourself, send me links to stuff that they think ought to be posted. Right now, we're down to the wire. And they're saying that because of the vaccinations, all these people, what, eight out of every 10 Americans took it? They're dying like crazy after about 18 to 24 months. They're having heart attacks because their blood's thickening up so much that they can't pass the blood through their heart, and they're having heart attacks. Now, the others, they're acting crazy. People are beginning to act crazy. They're taking a shot. They just start going off on their neighbors. They start going off on their co-workers. They start going off on their spouses. It's been reported every place. Abnormal behavior. And it's these shots. It's these shots that they did it. It's demonic activity. And, you know, if you took this, a lot of people took the shot because they were forced to, working in hospitals. I got one friend, he's in a hospital up there in New York, and within a week after the so-called virus, he had to take the shot or lose his job. Well, he took the shot. But he's talked to me, he said, and he's a born-again Christian, he told me, he said, Richard, you've talked to him, I believe, but he said to me, he says, Stu, he says, I've prayed and prayed and prayed. He says, I got this off of me. He says, I was feeling weird. And he says, I've asked God, whatever's in that shot, whatever it was to put into my body to dissolve it. And he says, God has done that. So, the power of prayer and your word that you speak is so powerful. As I said, Baphomet, the goat-headed demon, left my bedroom. He went right through the front door. It was it was bizarre. That was the wildest experience I've had. I've been anthrax, car crashed 3 times trying to murder me. Roll over on a concrete barrier. Shot out with a .50 caliber. Heard the beagle by my ear and then heard the kaboom. And dropped to the ground on the patio, and I heard a second shot. And I crawled in the back door. I've had all kinds of experiences like this. I mean, they have been after me to shut me up for years. But it's the power of God. And it's Jesus Christ is the only reason I'm breathing. And I know that. So, that's what the message I'm trying to deliver with you here on the show today. And to make people understand some things that you wanted to bring to light about the psychiatric part of it. But They have been attacking. They've used every method that they can since the 1900s, even before then, but early 1900s when all the technology started coming about, vehicles and all the other stuff. But, you know, it's just like Adolf Hitler. He got his saucers from J.P. Morgan, found angel-possessed human being. Nikola Tesla had already started the program. Saucers, anti-gravity, free energy, space-time, the four things from two magnetic discs or two wooden discs with magnets on it turning against each other. I spoke to patriots at the Tesla Society in Colorado Springs. About 550 of them, I think, showed up. giving us all the Tesla machines and the co-Tesla J.P. Morgan had brought in the drawings on this stuff. J.P. Morgan was possessed by a fallen angel. Well, he ended up taking it to Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler made the agreement with the aliens, and then later, after we destroyed Adolf Hitler, he escaped. The U.S. government makes the agreement with the aliens in 1952 to 2012, and it's been extended. And they're in control of Bluffdale, Utah, where six stories below ground of communications is. They're monitoring everybody from there. And right next to it is an alien base. An alien base. And Otis told me, because I took him up to an airport in Hastings, Nebraska, when I was working on his house, and he got on the plane with General Flynn. I drove him out on the tarmac. And Flynn actually saluted me as I'm driving off. I salute him back because Otis walked up the end of the stairs. He comes back and he told me what was below. He says, there's six stories below ground. He says, beyond computers, they call it. Now they're calling it artificial intelligence, but he called it beyond computers. And he says, everybody's a signature on the planet. They're monitoring everybody, whether you have a cell phone on you or not. They track where you are at because of all the chemicals they have dumped in the air from chemtrails. The heavy metals, aluminum, barium, all kinds of stuff. So you're glowing in the dark to their satellites. So the evil side that's running the planet, the Joe Bidens and all the others, evil. They're evil. And cloned many. I might believe Biden's cloned. And I did a program with Professor Joe on this recently. And a friend of yours, and I consider still a friend of mine, she brought me a lot of stuff on cloning back in December and January. I posted on my breaking news page. I'm a nurse. But anyway, I want people to understand, we're being inundated not only with satellites, with demonic, I mean, they put demonic activity into your brain and make you think you're seeing something and having illusions that you're not even seeing. And they don't even have to do it with satellites. They can do it now with cell phone towers.
I'm familiar with that.
But, you know, a lot of activity. I mean, you had a father that worked for the government. And you had a mother that worked for the government. They had high GS ratings. They weren't small GS ratings. They were up there. But your father was driving around. You had made a comment on one of the previous shows we've done. We've done a couple. How your father was FCC, I think it was. Federal Communications, was it?
Yes.
And how he had said that he was driving around in a car that was driving itself. This was what? 1990s, 1980s, late 80s, early 90s?
Well, I think it was in the 80s, somewhere in the 80s, that he was driving in that car. I think that's the time he told me about some of the stuff that was going to come on into the future. I know when he told me about YouTube, I remember Michael Jackson's Bad album was out, and I was downstairs. We had a library, and I think it was around that time. Michael just put out an album. I don't know.
But it was during that period of time that the car was driving itself, and he was riding around in it.
Yeah, but he told me that. But he also told me about YouTube. Because the thing is, back in the 80s, you know, for my people, like black people, you know, we cherish the moment where we can see ourselves on the television. So when videos came out, like when MTV, you know, that's what we fought towards. Because as a person of any type of ethnic race, you want to see yourself on TV. And so we used to take a VHS tape, right, and we used to film the award shows and things. And we would sit back and watch it over and over again. But he probably mentioned that because I was at the computer, and he said, yeah, there's going to be a time where you can sit at your computer and you can look at everything that's ever been broadcast. And I thought he was crazy, Stu. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, yeah, you're going to be able to type in whatever you're looking for. It's going to come up, and you can look at it anytime you want to. So if there's
Now this was back what, 80s, 90s time frame?
Huh?
80s or 90s, your father knew about all this because he was working on those projects.
Well, if he wasn't working on him, one of his colleagues was, because he, like I told you before, he was mostly into radio.
Yeah, I know.
But he also did the high-definition television thing before he died. That was his last project, for the commission that he did. And one afternoon, I did drive him to Alexandria, Virginia, to this laboratory. And I'm thinking, maybe that's where they had all this stuff, all this technology stuff that they were working on. Because it's up to people like my dad to make sure things are regulated. It has to, I guess, pass some type of standard before they release it out to the general public.
Right. Now, they did put in the high-definition TVs because they stopped allowing China and different countries to ship them to the United States without a chip in it, where they could hear you and see you. Without your TV even being turned on, that's probably what he at that time, what they were working on.
Yeah, and he would tell me about white noise and all these technical terms that, he had to just sit back and watch images on TV screens. And he for him being a tech nerd, he enjoyed that. He enjoyed that he could practice his profession.
But he was an electrical engineer working for the FCC, Federal Communications Corp, correct?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Your dad knew a lot more, like my father, of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bendix was a engineering plant. Whatever Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory, where he taught down there at Department of Defense, or Department of Energy down there at Los Alamos, Livermore, and one over there in Tennessee, the scientists would dream up toys, and then Bendix would put them into reality. That's what they did. And then they put them into reality, and they tested them, and they worked, and all the other stuff, then they put it into production. I mean, they got a facility now in Kansas City. It's so far below the ground, a brand new facility they built since my father's retirement at the Air Force Base in Grandview. It's so huge because a concrete contractor, friend of mine, that poured a couple basements for me, he got the commercial contract to do all the work. I mean, it's like Knobnostor, Missouri. That's where the B-10s or whatever they are, the big ones, they fly around the world from there. And that's six stories below ground. And it's so deep, I can't even tell you how deep it is, because I was told in a secret. Because I knew somebody that built that place as well.
Mm-hmm.
Being a building contractor, word gets around. You see one of them in a restaurant, and you're talking to him, what are you doing now? Oh, I'm doing a top secret project for the government. This kind of stuff. I've seen that. I've heard it. But your father... He knew James, was it James Brown?
Yes, he did. The Godfather's son had a radio station in Macon, Georgia. That's what he told me. And sometimes he would be in his office and he'll get a call for him. And I guess he was giving him advice on how to run his radio station. And I never heard about it until before he died. He told me that. And to him, it was nothing. It was just like another client. I'm sure he had other notable people, people in the radio industry that was calling him for advice. And he just never made a big deal about anything that he did. He was very humble about it. And I just wish I had more time with him, that I could talk to him and find out all the interesting things he did. And he often told me, a lot of men that had, billions of dollars, men that had wealth relied on him. And you get a sense of pride to know that your father was
I'm blessed to have mine in my life too. You know, he never told me anything, but on his deathbed he revealed some things to me, and
yeah.
I don't want to, you know, he only revealed them because he was dying and he wanted me to know it. But I'll say it one time and that's it. There were 79 men from U.S. Air Force Intelligence, Biloxi, Mississippi, that stopped the Korean War. He was one of them. And they were captured by the Chinese and they escaped it. I'll leave it that way.
Yeah.
They killed 122,000 Chinamen crossing the river. They poured uranium in the water. They were drinking out of it and bathing out of it.
His humble beginning, my dad, it's a stark contrast of who he came out to be as a man. That's another point I want to.
Yeah, it's like my father, and I want you to bring that up because, like my father, he became a born again Christian. I asked him on his deathbed. I said, "Did you ever ask Jesus for forgiveness?" He says, "He forgave me a long time ago for killing those 122,000 Chinamen, Stu."
Yeah.
And I knew he was born again. I went to church a couple times a week. He was just pure and holy. He wasn't like he was in his earlier years, kind of tough and all the other. But I mean, he believed in Christ. He believed in the power of prayer and being able to stop things. And I know he's in heaven now.
Yeah.
With my mother.
I realize it too, because he was a believer. And I think, you know, when he passed over, he probably knew that I was in trouble. I believe he knew I was in trouble. I had a vision of my father in Walmart when I lived in Cary. I saw someone that resembled my father. And I've had a lot of paranormal experiences. I think like you have someone watch over you. They know what we're trying to do here. And I think we have so much support. In the heavens, and I just feel that this is, for me, to call you when I did was the right time for me.
You know, it probably is the right time for you to be coming forward and speaking out and talking about the different things, and your website, Two Witnesses, folks, go to her website and read it. You can tell this woman's full of the Holy Spirit. But you've broken the bond of a lot of bondage over you that this demonic activity was doing. And I believe that it has to deal with, part of it has to deal with who you are, not only what you're going to be in the last of days speaking out against them, but what you had to go through, and part of it maybe have been because of your father and his position within government, what he was doing, that he did not know. He thought he was doing it for the betterment of humanity, like my father, like Holy, you know, and other people. And now they're using all these weapons that they've created, they're using it against the people. And they're just whacking people like crazy. I mean, I think it's Gary Webb, I think that's his name, you know. He, does a lot of selfies and walks around, and he's been very popular. Well, a friend of mine called me up and, "Hey, did you hear about Gary Webb? He's saying that they poisoned him, and he had to go in hiding. He's down in Mexico hiding out now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing his program anymore. I mean, they have been really trying to go after everybody. It's like me. They've gone after me so hard. I've been being hit a lot with the satellite, and I know that, and probably the cell phone tower. Okay? It's done some damage to me. And I'm still surviving. And I plan on surviving until Jesus returns, because I want to see these people go down. I want to see them go down. I want to see them totally exposed, and I want the planet to understand, because we're at the last of days. 2025 is a year and a half away, and a big fireball six times the size of the planet is going to come whipping around there, according to what they've seen in CERN. And the NSA is operational in the CERN project, the National Security Agency. And remember, the NSA has the 200,000 fallen angels registered with them, occupying human beings. It was part of the alien agreement. But there's 333,000, according to Genesis, when they had the war in heaven, and a third fell. That was 333,333 fell. There's 133,000 of them that are not registered. Now I asked Otis when he told me about that. I said, Otis, that means all of the leaders of the world are possessed. We haven't got a chance. They're giving orders. They're leading us down the proverbial path. He said, no, Stu. He said, Donald Trump's not evil. And he says he's not possessed, but he says the aides around him are. The aides around him are possessed and giving him bad advice. Now, Ed Slade, U.S. scientist for the edification of listeners, was a friend of mine. They tried to murder him on retirement day. Then he went out and did a speech. They murdered five of his colleagues. Six of them all left Papoose Lake, Nevada, out there at S4 test site where my father had a, Bendix had a deal, Raytheon, that shot the towers with the death ray and knocked it down. It wasn't some nuke went off. It was the death ray. And they used the Hoover Dam and the energy from the Hoover Dam. 8 out of 10 of those generators go to S4. That's that top secret place. They call it Area 51, Groom Lake. Otis used to fly in there a lot. Papoose Lake was up the street. Papoose Lake, Nevada is where the alien base is. And Ed Slade was one of the U.S. scientists. He answered to the president. He answered to Rothschild out of New York. That's who his bosses were. And Rothschild was a alien possessed, as the NSA calls it. But as Otis said, he says, no, he says, I'm in agreement with you. They're the fallen angels. What occupied your ex-father-in-law, Stu, lived for thousands of years before he occupied him. And now it's in Larry Mizell because he was the chosen one because he did such great things for him. As an example, there were 150 people murdered in Colorado and their bodies were taken to Juarez, Mexico and dumped in a mass grave, which the U.S. government and the Mexican officials dug up like 20 years ago and they found a dozen of them because of their teeth. They were able to do DNA and do samples of their teeth and identify who they were. Those were bodies that Mizell sent down there and a guy named John King, a cop, who murdered four bank guards at United Bank that Milman owned back in the 80s or 90s. He shot and killed, 2000 around that time frame, he shot and killed them because they ripped him off. It was all drug, they were drug money counters in the basement of the place for all the Colorado drugs coming in there. And they ripped them off. They ripped off like $20 million, $20,000 from them. Four of these guys, and he walks in there with his key to the bank door, and he goes and shoots him and kills him, and they got him on camera. And then the U.S. attorney wouldn't even prosecute him, and then the state attorney prosecuted him, and they found him not guilty because they got him the right attorney and the right judge. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. But that's one of the reasons Mizell became the next Council of 13, the 12 disciples of Satan answering to Satan. Now, Ed Slade told me all the secrets. Before I left Las Vegas, he became a good friend. He'd come by and take me out to lunch 2-3 times a week to the Holiday Inn. Brunch. Breakfast and lunch. $4.95. He would come over and knock on my door. He wouldn't even call me and say, hey, come on, Stu. Get ready. Let's go get something to eat. I got to tell you more secrets. He used to call them secrets. Now, I have audios of him up on my website, Ed Slade, U.S. Scientist. It's on the front page underneath Breaking News. And you can hear some of those audios. And they were with another radio host that I did them with. He says, oh, Stu, those are secrets. Those are secrets. You know the secrets. Tell them the secrets. And then he would confirm it. But the deal was, here's the big thing he told me. He says, Stu, you're never to repeat this until I'm dead. Well, he's dead. They murdered him. It's a long story. But he says he was told to make element 115, 116, 117, and 118 elements. 118 is the polymer they made the flying saucers out of to go into atmospheres. There's 149 elements in the Bible, in either Proverbs or Psalms. And they found it with the Bible code. These scientists have created the Bible code out of Israel. They're looking for those elements the fallen angels are on the planet. They need all those other elements for their other scientific toys, because they think they're going to overthrow God one day. Well, I understand they were up to about 132 in 2017 before Otis died, they found. But here's Ed putting the element 115, 116. 115 is the robotoids. They look human, they breathe, everything. Like Ferguson, Missouri, after they had the riots down there and the whole bit, they had robotoids going in there holding up signs, and they looked human, they acted human, they'd shake your hand, they'd take your fingerprints. Within 2 weeks after everybody, Ferguson, Missouri, died down, everybody that was involved in those protests and the whole bit were all arrested because they had their fingerprints. They knew who they were. Otis told me about it. Others told me about it. But here's Ed Slade. Still, they told me to make this loaf of bread-sized chunk of metal, the aliens that he worked with, there at Papoose, Lake Nevada, and take the elements, put them together, and fuse them together, and he did exactly what the aliens told him to do. And then he said, now, take this down to the pyramid north of Mexico on such and such a date this week. So-and-so's going to be waiting for you. Some Nordic-looking character standing 7'6" tall. He goes out to the pyramid, and it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's on a weekend or a weekday or whatever it was. Normally, that pyramid would be full of people. Nobody was there. The alien chased them off. Scared him to death, probably. Anyway, he walks up there and he goes, you must be Ed Slade. He says, yeah, you must be so-and-so. It was some kind of weird name. He said, let me see what you brought me. So he pulls it out of a loaf or a leather bag, and he hands it to him, this loaf of bread-sized metal. He goes, oh, now take it out there and set it down about 50 yards. He said, what? Yeah, take it out there and set it down. So he counts off 50 yards with the steps. He turns around and says, is this far enough? He says, yeah, that's good, Ed. Set it down. Come on back here. So he goes back over to the pyramid with the Nordic-looking character. And he says, now look out there, Ed. I'll show you what you made me. And all of a sudden, it turns into a flying saucer. Turns into a flying saucer from a loaf of bread. He says, still, you never can reveal this to anybody until after I'm dead, because they'd kill me for telling you. I said, okay. Now, so I'm telling the people, I've told it before a few times on my radio program. Now, here's what happened. He says, now, watch, Ed. All of a sudden, it turns back into a loaf of bread. The saucer disappears. Now, he says, Ed, look out there. Close your eyes and start thinking it into a flying saucer. He goes, I can't do that. He says, yeah, you can, Ed. He says, close your eyes and think it into a flying saucer. So Ed's trying to think it into a flying saucer. Here he's a scientist, U.S. scientist. He's trying to think it into a flying saucer, and the alien says to him, Nordic-looking character, says, Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. He says, think over here to your left. See you over here? Now think this way. Now think that way. He was reading his mind. The alien was. The born angel. Reading Ed's mind. He said, oh, now, Ed, take a look at what you made. It was a flying saucer. He goes, oh, crap. He goes, come on, I'll take you for a joyride. You ever been out in outer space? And no, he says, come on. So he took him for a joyride, let him see Earth from outer space, and then he brought him back the pyramid, set him down, and the guy takes off in the saucer. Now, these aliens are running around in their portable saucers, folks. A loaf of bread, they take out in a field, set it down, or in somebody's backyard, and it turns into a saucer, and they fly off. Now, we got a battle going on in heaven. It's called the Confederation and the Confederation, which are the bad ones, and then the good ones. I forgot Joel is a really expert on this, but I'm having brain farts because I'm tired this morning. But we have a battle going on. The U.S. Air Force is the bad side of it, controlled by the aliens, the fallen angels, aliens, where the Navy has theirs. And they're controlled by human beings, not by a bunch of aliens. And there's a battle going on. And there are other planets, believe me. Jesus Christ, there was civilization before we were around here on Earth. And there will probably be after Earth's cleansed and if a fireball hits it or whatever. But I'm just trying to bring people's attention to the fact that there's 100 years ahead of us in technology. 100 years, and they've got us all under control.
Yeah.
They can make you see a devil. They can make you see anything they want you to see. They can put him right in front of you. You were talking about someone dressed similar to you last night. Mm-hmm. You're not walking your dog. I've had similar experiences. All of a sudden, someone says hi to me, and they're striking up conversation, and I got bad vibes about this person. There's something wrong here. You know, there's some kind of demonic creature testing me to see if I know what's going on. Now, this is going on with a lot of people, but you tell them about that story with your dog.
Yeah, I was out walking my dog, and this is the time when I was under a lot of distress because of issues, and I walked out to the main road, I think it's called Westery, and I looked up, and I was like halfway down the road where there's like a telephone pole light that's on another side of the road, and I looked up and I saw someone who was dressed similar to me. He had a yellow top and white pants on. It's like the same thing I had on. And his hair was, you know, all wild. He didn't look like a normal human being. And he struck up a conversation with me, and he said, well, is that your dog? And I said, yeah. And he asked another question. I never really remember. And then he just started talking to himself, and he hopped on a bike, and he just ran down the road, and I just thought it was strange. But, and also I saw something in my psychiatrist's office, the last appointment that I had, and I had to tell Katie, she was a physician assistant at the time, she wasn't a doctor, or a psychiatrist, or whatever, and I was waiting to see her, and the front door to the office, it was in like a normal office building, and the office, the doctor's office was like a little suite of rooms, so I was sitting in the waiting room, and the door opened up on its own, because there was nobody, no human in the hallway, and I looked, I thought it was interesting, and the door opened three times on its own. And the last time I saw something, it was a black human figure, and it had eyes that glowed. And I don't know what that was, and I don't know why I saw it, but it was frightening. But I kept my composure, you know. And I think, but I do hear something called the, when people go through challenges, the dark night of the soul. And I heard something about a particular entity concerning that. And some people say it's good, that it was always there to protect you. I don't know what it was. And maybe it's part of that program that I was under. But maybe they wanted to scare me like they did when I was driving there for an appointment. And I told you I saw an octopus. Octopus that was in the clouds. It was like a dark figure of an octopus with devil horns on it. So I don't know if it was them or was it something else. But I really believe that the people that were part of my program, or whoever they were, they expected to get a certain reaction out of me. And when it didn't happen, then I guess they felt disappointed. You know, because they do those things that they want me to be hysterical enough to want to be admitted into the hospital. So, I don't know. If that had happened, I wanted to know, I really wanted to know, what did they have anything planned for me if I was going to be admitted to the hospital? I mean, was there something else was going to happen?
You know, part of it, Nicole, could have been because of what your father did for the government. And that they were afraid that maybe he said something to you and things like that. But then again, you know, hey, certain people are targeted for a certain reason. Whatever it is. I know that I'm looking back and saying why I was targeted, why all this came about. And I've never understood it until now. And I pretty much understand it. It's because of this time frame that we're in. I'm supposed to be one of millions of voices out here yelling and screaming about Jesus Christ is going to come back. Hope you got your soul correct with him, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself in a big fireball and you're not going to like it. Okay? And then when you meet Baphomet down there, the goat-headed demon, the pit of hell, the devil, you're not going to like that either, and all the torture you're going to go through. I mean, I gotta, go ahead.
It doesn't make any sense for them to do this to me when I am not a person that's a threat to anyone. And whatever my dad told me, it wasn't a national security. I was never a national security threat. And I just don't understand what they did to me was all for nothing, though.
Well, I mean, for your dad to be driving around in a car like the Tesla car that drives itself and some of the newer models that park themselves, and this was in the 80s, 90s time frame, I mean, that was some very, okay, that's technology that was put out, what, 20, 30 years before Tesla cars came out? I mean, you know, we're 100 years ahead on technology.
Yeah.
Invisible man. They put a cloak on, like a Brillo pad coat, and it kills them after 5 years. It breaks down their immune system, and it breaks down their body and other stuff. I forgot what it was that a couple of them had told me about, but they take the Og meter that they used in the Montauk Project to send kids into space-time, and there's books written about it, because I know one of the authors. He's still alive, but they think he's dead. He was alive the last time I saw him, around 2000 out there in Vegas. But his wife was supporting him. He was raising the kids, but he was dead. But we had a long talk about that. The Og meter, it's top secret. OG meter, it's called. They put it on him, and they set it, and they become invisible. You can barely see an outline, because I've seen two of them trying to assassinate me. You can barely see an outline of it. Barely see. You think you're seeing something there, but you're not. But there is something there. It's like an outline of the body. Okay? And I heard that one after they were trying to strangle me on my bed. I said, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. And I'm kicking them off and hitting them back. You know, Marine Corps style. Hitting them in the throat. And they said, I said, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you out of here now, Satan. And all of a sudden, I see the outline of the body. They both retracted from me, pulled back, and I see the outlines in the dark. And they're going through the wall, half concrete wall and half wood walls. You know, it was half below ground that the house was. And I saw them go through the wall, and the one says, "Oh, he thinks he's a preacher." I said, "Oh my God." And I told Otis about that, and he goes, you have the cloaks in there. He said, those are the willow pad coats that they wear, makes them invisible. He said, they were there to assassinate you, Stu. Now, that was around 2002, I think it was. So I've seen a lot of stuff that nobody could ever believe. And it's demonic. It's demonic because these people are demonic, and their activities are always demonic. There's no truth to them. They're liars, thieves, killers, rapist. They are just plain crap that need to be exterminated from the planet. But go ahead. Go ahead, Nicole.
And I've had incidents where I know there was something in this house, and I know the when I was under the demonic oppression, I know there were reptilians that were around me and my mother. So, well, they have cloaking technology, too. These entities can be in your home, but you won't see them. And that's the frightening thing of everything, that there's so much out there that's a threat to you, and that can be a threat to you. And like you said, if you're not covered in the blood of Christ, you can fall victim to these things. So I was raised in a Christian home, and I shudder to think what would have become of me if the 10-year-old girl of Nicole, or I don't know what age I was at, 9 or 8, if I didn't have that strong desire to get baptized. So I'm very devoted towards God. And the Catholicism gave me the inspiration to deepen my faith. So it all worked out. I was always searching for, why am I so afraid? Why am I not comfortable serving God or being His child, or being known to be His child? And let me just say this. A lot of my experiences, they weren't for people of my own race. A lot of times I would be out and about, and a random stranger who happened to be white would tell me, I just want you to know you're a Christian. So it was wonderful that God allowed that to happen, because that gave me the confidence to move forward in life. And just knowing that one day these fears and these doubts, they won't be a part of my life. So I'm just blessing all that. So
But you'll be under demonic attack until you leave the planet, I guarantee you. Okay?
Yeah.
And the only way to keep the demonic attack off is to get on your hands and knees and talk to Christ every day. Pray.
Yeah, I have a relationship with Him, and I'm more confident in my walk with Him. And I feel more boldened by my faith. Like I told you before, I don't want to be considered a victim. I want to be considered an overcomer, and I want to have the mindset that I am a daughter of a king. And when you have that kingdom knowledge, that despite the fact that you may feel as though you're in a realm where you are vulnerable, I have a heavenly Father that can never be defeated. So if that's the case, the enemy can never defeat me. And so that gives me the strength to go forward, no matter what happens. I have that confidence in Him. And when you have a confidence in any parent, as a child, you feel nothing can really touch you. That's how I feel. Nothing can really touch me, and nothing can really bring me down. As long as I'm walking in love and faith, and exhibiting the characteristics of Christ, I'm unbeatable, and I am unstoppable. We all are. So, that's all I have for today.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So, if you were to say any last words, is it wise to keep Jesus Christ in your prayer and consistent prayer, and to keep Jesus around you, and your angels of protection are vitally important as well, I believe. And He says He'll give you angels of protection if you ask.
Yes.
Psalms 91, 92, angels of protection.
Yes.
But
yes.
I hear, now Nicole, I hear this garbage and see this garbage of these preachers on TV, and they come along and they pray for you. You know, you go to the churches today and all, you know, they pass the plate before they even speak. Pass the plate for donations, and then after that they'll pass it again and again and again and again sometimes. But the first I wound up saying, oh, if you need prayer, come on up here. I'm holy and righteous. I'll pray for you. Let me tell you something, folks. I learned from Jesus in 1997 the power of prayer when I got baptized for the third time in my life. 2 weeks later, Ross Perot's operation that I was aware of burned my ex-father-in-law, and he had to pay an $80 million fine. Mizell paid $10 million, and Brownstein, the attorney for Daddy Bush, who was Milman's attorney, 3 years out of law school, CIA director, and Bill Barr worked for him over there. Bill Barr, the attorney general that's turned against Trump, that was a plant. Now, those three had to pay heavy fines, and Mayor Frederico Pena, who was in charge of the Department of Energy, Secretary under Clinton, had to resign his position in 1997 because he was under indictment. He took a $2.5 million bribe from Leonard Milman's partner, Phil Wynn, laundered through M&L Business Machines, which was Ross Perot's operation to sting him, because I was working with Ross Perot in 1992, hiding from the FBI, folks. He was running for president. I gave him the document that they were going to kill him, a fax that came out of Pennzoil headquarters. The next day he resigned. He had a postal contract. And then they took him off the side and said, Clintons and Bushes both said, we're going to run your postal contract, etc., if you don't do our comply. No, he didn't comply. Now, Ross was Office of Naval Intelligence, folks. He went through the academy. He gets out, and he was brilliant. He designed software. All of our nukes fly off of his software. Software. I don't want to get into top secret stuff once again, but it's software that does certain things while it's flying in midair. But he designed that software. He was a brilliant man. But when Ronald Reagan got shot, Ronald Reagan, and it was Daddy Bush had him shot, Hinckley, his brother attended Neil Bush's birthday party in Denver, Colorado that night after Hinckley shot Reagan. Hinckley's father was having lunch at the vice president's house, Daddy Bush at the time. At the time, his son's out there shooting, he was mind control. Anyway, Ronald Reagan thought maybe the CIA was involved. He wasn't sure. So he decided that he was going to hire Ross Perot and five other people, and they were going to go in, and they were going to, as he said, they were going to find out who nailed him. So, and he wanted the drugs and guns stopped. So Ross Perot saw it all. For about 4 years as an oversight committee over the CIA. And he formed that M&L. He formed 150 agents, CIA agents, and 150 IRS agents volunteered to be part of the organization. And they went after my ex-father-in-law. They went in and bought M&L something in Levine, Business Machines Company, and went to Norman Brownstein, Norman's attorney, Daddy Bush's CIA counsel, because he was, you know, supposedly the top lawyer in Denver. So they went to him to set up the corporation, changed it to M&L. Well, they ended up getting rid of all the computer, the back then it was word processors and copy machines and fax machines, and they filled the boxes full of dirt, and they started making pamphlets up. And one of the officers of M&L was a shrink. They brought him in intentionally, and he set up an office in Boulder, Colorado. And they had pamphlets. If you want to buy foreign bank accounts, Bahama bank accounts, or foreign bank accounts, or foreign trusts, etc., etc., contact M&L Business Machines. Well, the shrink had these pamphlets in their office, and he started sending letters out to Leonard Millman's wife, my ex-witch doctor, Carrie's mother, Lane Millman. Well, if you got any of these problems with your husband or your family or your relationship, etc., etc., and they were pros. Well, the next thing you know, Larry Mizell's wife, Sue, I think is her name, she's calling to set an appointment. I'm driving her Mercedes up there in her sunglasses and hats so she can't be recognized. Down in Denver, she was always recognized. In Boulder, she wasn't so much recognized. The reason they put it up there. She goes in there, and there's a big waiting room, chairs and, you know, couches and stuff. And then the shrink, he's got his little office back there, no secretary, no receptionist. And so he comes out. It'd be a few minutes. So she's sitting out there, and she's seeing these pamphlets. And she picks up a couple of the pamphlets, starts reading them, and then she says, oh, Doc. She says, my husband's into this stuff. In other words, foreign bank accounts and stuff. She says, are you involved in this? She says, I'm the vice president of the company. Oh, I'll give him a copy of it. Well, she was satisfied with the shrink and was happy. She made a couple more appointments, etc. Supposedly helped her, but here was the point. Is that my zealous wife takes those pamphlets back and gives them to Larry. Oh, God, he's got to investigate this. And so they tested the guy's name. It wasn't his real name, Robert Joseph. They tested him. Sure enough, he came through for him. He ended up laundering money for him. He ended up laundering, if you can believe this. There were 250 politicians, U.S. attorneys, federal agents, FBI, governors, senators, congressmen, U.S. attorneys, DEA agents, and everybody, including Mayor Frederico Pena, that got paid between $1.5 million and $2.5 million to do what they wanted them to do. Their bribes. They killed the grand jury. I was invited to the grand jury. I went to the grand jury and was standing there at the grand jury room with two federal agents right there at the door. Told me, "What are you doing here, Webb?" I said, "I've got a subpoena to appear before the grand jury." They said, "You aren't going in there. We want you to leave the courthouse now. If you don't, we're going to arrest you." I said, "Screw you. I'm going in." I started going. They pushed me back, said, "One more time, and we're going to arrest you, and you're going to spend a lot more time than you did last time, that 10 and a half months," which the charges were dismissed against me. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to call Robert up, and I'm going to, you know, Robert Joseph, he'll be around, and the other ones that I was aware of, they're part of the sting operation. And they said, "Just wait, Stu. You'll be up there in the next couple of days. We'll get you through the door." I said, okay. So anyway, Huffman, her name was, a U.S. attorney out of Washington that was running the indictments, suddenly she seals the case under national security with Clinton's as president and first lesbo, Hillary, Hildebeest we call her. They killed it. Sealed it under national security. So the only one that paid his bribe was Mayor Fred Rico Pena, the Denver International Airport vote that they needed. Took $2.5 million from Phil Wynn, convicted hug figure who never spent a day in jail, and Clinton's gave him a presidential pardon. One of the scandals I caused, and the whole bit where they stole 500,000 apartment units since 1970s from the government, financed 100%, even sticking $1 million, $2 million, $3 million in their pocket, the whole bit. He was the one that paid them off. He was on the board of directors of MDC Holdings. MDC Holdings was the parent company of Silverado Savings and Loan, Neil Bush, director, Iran-Contra, drug money laundering from MENA and all of Iran-Contra. Anyway, Mayor Fred Rico Pena had to pay a $10 million, he took $2.5 million bribe for the Denver airport vote, and he had to pay $1 million, or $1.5 million, because he already spent $1 million. So they let him keep that $1 million that he already spent, and took $1.5 million from him. Fine Millman, $80 million. Leonard Millman, Larry Mizell, $10 million, and $10 million to Norman Brownstein. Now, before Barack Obama leaves the White House, the John McCain was holding up a vote over some abortion crap. Okay, it was his excuse. But he was holding it up until Barack Obama agreed to give Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein a presidential pardon. So they had a dinner at the White House on a Monday night. They gave him $2.5 billion bribe for their presidential pardons to wipe off anything of the past that they had against them, because they were facing a lot of stuff pertaining to bank bailout, mortgage fraud, and the other stuff. So he gives him a presidential pardon. 2 days later, John McCain announces that he broke the stalemate on the vote. It went forward, and then the real vote they were running, I forgot what it was, went through, and Barack Obama made an announcement that day that he received in the private donations at a dinner at the White House, he received $100 million to build his new presidential library with. That's how things work, folks. That's how sick it is and how bad it is. But you know, the power of prayer can stop things and change things if enough people were to be praying on the same level. Power of prayer. God's not through with the human race. He wants everybody converted over on his side, is really what he would like to have. But there's not going to be that many. And the people that have taken the shot are going back crazy on other people. They're acting like they're demon possessed. And remember, that chip shot, it's got a chip in it, because Klaus Schwab was sitting there at the New World Order Forum, and he asked the question. He said to Pfizer, the guy head of Pfizer, he says, "How many chips did you develop?" "It was 6 billion. And he says, "Did they have a chip in it?" He says, "Oh yeah, they got a chip in it." That's the mark of the beast. That's your can't buy or sell without the mark. We're getting ready to come on to the cap. They're trying to, and have been trying to push cashless society in June. Now they're really pushing it and talking about it and the whole bit and sick in the IRS. Give rewards to banks that they think something's unusual because somebody goes in and pulls a couple grand out each month because they need to pay the bills and they don't use their checking account to do it with or their bank card. Instead, they pay cash for the bills. Oh, they're suspicious. We got to check them out. I mean, they're giving rewards to bankers, to tellers, and the whole bit. This is the government. Tyranny to its max. But it's all demonic. Is it not, Nicole?
Yes, it's all demonic. And it's like I said before with this. The psychiatry, and it was all designed this way because you had so many in the beginning that did not want to serve God. They had no interest in helping people. They wanted to help themselves. And it was a trade-off. You could not gain the riches of this world without making an agreement. It's just like with your father-in-law.
Yep.
Through his bloodline, someone had to make an agreement.
You know,
and we are suffering because of it, you know, and the intended victims, the children are suffering.
You know, after that, Eminem.
But I might hope that he vowed to end all of it, and I hope and I pray that we do have time to make things right, and we get as many people as we can on God's side, because that's important, too. It's not enough for us to have faith and not put it into practice. Like it wasn't enough for me to go through all this and not tell anyone. That's why I called you. Because people need to know how real evil is. It's not something that is a fairy tale. It's far beyond that. It's so real and so tangible and so threatening. And it has to stop. And I just wish more people had eyes to see this, and they don't. Because so many of my relatives did take the needle. And I try to warn people, you know, don't do this, don't do that. But they look at you like you have two heads. Like, what are you talking about? They think people like Fauci and Gates are noble, honorable people. They're not. They're not noble. They're not honorable.
They're mass murderers is what they are.
Yeah, but in D.C., I had a good pediatrician, Dr. Julius Perry. He was one of the top doctors. He was a very notable doctor in his field. And he showed a book to my dad about the origins of AIDS, in the late 80s. I used to go to him when I had problems with my tonsils, that I had infections. And I often had to get antibiotics from him, but that was wrong, but I didn't know any better, and my parents didn't know any better. But he showed a book, but, you know, in the mid-80s, he had a book about how the NIH was behind some of the things, and he said to my dad that he didn't trust these doctors in the NIH. And he was very leery about the things that they were doing. So I already knew firsthand that Fauci was just a bad dude, you know, based upon the opinion of my pediatrician in the 80s. So it's amazing how things, they come about in life. If you know a certain individual who's on the inside, you can pretty much get the truth. And more people should listen to the things that you have to say because you are close to it. And the best way to find out the truth is from those who have walked on the inside. And I hope more people listen to you and listen to all the interviews that you've already conducted over the years so they can get more insight. And the more you're armed with the truth, the better you can fight this evil that's out there. So.
You know, Nicole, after that M&L grand jury in 1997, a former Denver prosecutor, Norm Earley, a black man, who had been the mayor of Denver later, I was reporting all the fraud on the Denver airport, and they weren't prosecuting anybody. Nobody was getting prosecuted. Here I'm reporting to him. All he was a limited hangout for the bad guys. He calls me up and says, "Oh, Stu Webb, Norm Early." I said, "Norm, blast from the past, how are you?" And I thought he was a good guy. And he says, "I'm doing okay." He says, "I hear you're out here doing some construction in Colorado. I was building a warehouse out there up in Boulder, and they found out it was me, and then they didn't want to pay me. It took 4.5-5 months to get paid on it finally. But I did the guts of a warehouse for a guy and the whole bit." Well, anyway, the guy calls me up, the contract or the owner, and he wants to pay me. He's got his final check for me about 4 months later, after I bitched, moaned, and groaned every day to his office because I was done with it. I want my money. I was promised my money. You're cheating me on my money. I'm going to have to sue you. Anyway, he calls me up, wants to take me to lunch. He told me, he says, "I was warned by your ex-father-in-law. If I ever allow you to do another job for me, that I never have a construction a contract or a loan again." I said, "Really?" He said, "That's the reason you didn't get paid. They were holding your money back. And I apologized to you." He says, "Stu," he says, "I hope you get them. They're crooks." That's what he told me. Well, Norm Early had called me up shortly after that M&L thing. I hear you're building a warehouse out here in Boulder. And he says, "I want to have lunch with you at the Cherry Creek Country Club." He said, "They got a nice workout place," but he says, "they got a great buffet," and he says, "great cocktails," and he says, I want to have lunch with you." I said, "What's this about, Norm? What are you doing these days?" He says, "Oh, I'm a head of security for, not Rockwell, but Martin Marietta, defense contractor. My uncle worked for him, designed toys for him out there." He's dead now, but I said, "Well, Norm," I said, "you know, I'm kind of busy today." I said, what's the scoop?" I said, "Just give me the scoop, what you want to talk about." I said, "Well, Stu," he says, "I got a briefcase here for you." And he says, "it's got $500,000 in it, and it's got annuities where $500,000 each year you can go cash the annuity and collect your $500,000. He says, up to $7 million. He says, "It's an olive branch being extended to you from your ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman." And I said, "Oh, do you have a contract in there that I can see my daughter?" And this is before she turned 18. I said, "Well, she can come visit with me a couple times a month." And I said, "You put her on an airplane on that end and she comes to wherever I'm living. And I'll pick her up at the airport." He says, "No, that's not part of the agreement. Part of the agreement is you have to forget about your daughter." I said, "Norm," I said, "I'll get back with you on this." Well, I was working with Stephen Dinnerstein and Al Martin. Stephen's the one that busted Al Martin in the Iran-Contra affair and forced him into telling everything. I helped get Al Martin's book published, The Conspirators. It was published. It's got Leonard Millman's name in it, Jeb Bush, Neil Bush, and a whole canopy of stuff. Now, at the time, I called Dinnerstein, and Dinnerstein wrote me this letter. He says, "Stu, let me intervene, and we'll get you the $7 million to make sure they don't double-cross you. You know, leave you with $500,000, and the annuities never come true." Because he knew Dinnerstein knew, and they killed him with a biological chemical weapon, by the way, in 2006. Only 3 people in the U.S. died of it. It was American-made weapon, biological chemical weapon. He shut him up. But he was squeezing them. Several people, he was trying to get them money because of me and the whole bit. You know, even one person made the deal. But Otis Johnson, I spoke to him a couple days later and told him what had happened. He says, "Stu, you don't want to touch that money." I said, "Why?" He says, "What they're going to do is make the deal with you." And then he said, "They're going to come kill you within 30 to 60 days and steal your money back." He said, "Because you made a pact with the devil. You made a pact with the devil. That gives them free reign to kill you." I said, "What?" He said, "You better think about your being raised as a Christian like I was." He says, "Think about it. You take that $7 million," and he said, "they will kill you because you gave the devil permission to kill you because you made a pact with them." I never took a dime of the $7 million. Anyway, that's just one of the stories I have for Jesus Christ, okay?
That's true. what he said.
It was true. Now, Nicole, any last words?
I just want to thank you for allowing me to be on your program once again. And I want to advise anyone who's listening to this program to find Yeshua, give your life to Christ, and commit to Him, and work every day until now until the end to bring others along on this journey that we're on, to get back home, get back to where we belong, back to our Heavenly Father. And that's it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and I don't do this for myself, but I'm asking for contributions because, folks, I am literally broke. I am, and I've been broke for 2 months. It's been the wildest time, and God keeps coming through, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 bucks here every so often and so forth, and it buys the gas I need, but I got a chiropractor I need to see, and I got other things I got to do. And anyway, I'm about resituated because I moved out of South Dakota down here to Topeka, Kansas, and I got my chiropractor back over in there, Kansas City, and the whole bit. Thank God, because this car crash, I got to see him every week. But I don't ask for donations for myself, but I need help. I got a server I need to pay, getting caught up, and the whole bit, I owe him about $1,000 because it cost me $50 a month to have my website up. But I don't come out pleading for money, but hey, I sound like somebody that's doing it. I probably am today. But, Nicole, I want to thank you.
Well, if you value his information that he gives to the public, please give to Stu Webb. I know I could not have gotten the level of clarity to understand my life if it wasn't for whistleblowers. And so it's very important that we keep his website and his channel open, so other people, like myself, can get more clarity and more understanding, and it'll make our walk with Yeshua better. Because when you have the truth, it's not only freeing and liberating, but it gives you the power and the strength to fight the evil that's all around us. And we need it now more than ever, because it's just getting worse. So please give to Stu Webb, StuWebb.com.
I appreciate that, Nicole, and I've got a lot of very interesting cats and gators, I say. A lot of interesting guests coming on, folks, in this next 60 days. I've been inviting a lot of people from the past, and we're going to load up the show with information, with the latest intel, so forth, many intelligence officers and others. So, and, of course, witnesses, twowitnesses.com, folks. Witness Speaks, I'm sorry. Witnessspeaks.com.
Okay, witnessspeaks.com.
Yeah. There's two witnesses today for Jesus Christ right here on the radio with you on this program. Nicole and myself. But thank you, Nicole.
Thank you so much, Stu Webb.
Don't call me Mr. ever again, please. Just call me Stu.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye.